When I was growing up, I played some sports with an organization called Carmel Dads Club. It's basically little league basketball and football. Although in a previous sermon I mentioned that I was good at four square, I wasn't as good at 5-on-5 full court basketball. But I had a lot of heart. And I may not have always been paying attention to where the ball was moving or to where my teammates were on the court or even my own body. But I'd always be paying attention to the social dynamics and the varying personality and leadership styles of the coaches. And so I remember that even in little league sports in the suburbs, coaches would vary in their temperament. You'd have little league coaches that were more like Tony Dungy of the Indianapolis Colts, mild-mannered and thoughtful, gentle and reassuring. And then you'd have little league coaches that were more like Bobby Knight of IU basketball from 1971 to 2000. Fiery and intense, passionate, driven, not as gentle as Tony Dungy. And while I can't say that I had a coach throw chairs or use nearly as much profanity as Bobby Knight, you definitely see them yelling at the referees or yelling at seventh graders as if these junior high kids are professional athletes. And so from what I've gathered, from what I understand of the Apostle Paul, from reading the account of Paul's life in the book of Acts and from various other sources that we find in letters and other writings, my guess is that Paul is not a warm and fuzzy figure like Tony Dungy, like the Tony Dungys of the world. Paul is more of a zealous, intense figure who's constantly in trouble for what he has said or done. He's probably closer to the Bobby Knight end of the personality spectrum. And yet, Paul, this man who's not warm or fuzzy, is writing deeply from his heart in a prison cell. So like Dietrich Bonhoeffer that Darren mentioned last week, or Martin Luther King Jr., or Nelson Mandela, Paul penned these words of freedom and hope from the inside of a prison cell. And so, in this powerful spiritual irony, Paul is delivering these words of freedom and comfort when he's denied of his freedom and choice. So in this letter to the Philippian church, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Do not be anxious. God is near. Peace will be with you. God's peace is with you in a way that you cannot understand. These words that are penned by Paul to a church in Philippi, I would argue Paul is using to simultaneously encourage himself. And so I feel like we've built some trust together as a community, so I can share this secret with you. When us ministers are up here in our robes, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, speaking words of grace and hope and assurance, we, like the Apostle Paul, are also preaching sermons to ourselves. Christ said the greatest commandment is to love your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so we are called to encourage and pray for ourselves as well. When I was in the seventh grade, I had a teacher who was also a youth minister at St. Mark's United Methodist Church. And Mr. Smith asked us to write a letter to our future selves. He asked us to write about our concerns, our hopes, our values, and what we cherished. And then he challenged us, if we would find this letter years later, to read it and remember our hopes and values and our dreams that our seventh grade self had written and do our best to honor them. And so I remember reading that letter in high school and being thankful that God had met me in those concerns. And so, in tradition and keeping with the tradition of the Apostle Paul and my seventh grade self, I have a challenge for you to write a letter to yourself, because I did. Find some time this week to sit down with a cup of coffee or another beverage of your choice, judgment-free zone right now, and write a letter to yourself and be honest about what you are praying for, and be honest about your fears and concerns, your hopes and your joys. While I'm realizing that he may not have been the warmest or fuzziest figure, the Apostle Paul was genuine, and he meant what he said. And these words encouraging the Philippian church encouraged him as well. And so, friends, I will read this letter that I wrote to myself. Dear future Ronnie, I'm not sure how many years in the future you're reading this, but if what I see in science fiction movies is accurate, you may be reading this from a flying car. But you're probably just in your office, and you probably drive a regular non-flying car. But if I can use the words of the Apostle Paul, I want to say that I give thanks to the Savior Jesus Christ for you, and I have not stopped remembering you in my prayers. And in continuing with my ridiculous humor, I must say I find you charming and good-looking. But please, if you tell this observation to my wife or your wife, remember that she will probably just roll her eyes at you. Do not be discouraged. In this Advent season of 2018, I write to you from North Church with expectation. All around the church with nativity scenes and purple and blue banners, together as a congregation, we find ourselves in anticipation for the birth of the Christ child. Despite the busyness and frantic nature of these weeks and days leading up to Christmas, I can say that there is a peace in remembering what is to come. Through all the pressures of life, when I consider the birth of Christ, I still find this deep hope in our expected Savior. When I pray, when I say the Psalms, and when I sing songs, I have hope for a world in which the kingdom of Christ is more fully realized. So however far into the future you read this letter, my Advent prayer for you and for all is that Christ will allow you to see a church that has become truly more open, with open doors and open hearts, especially with what may come in February with our denomination. I pray that you see a United States of America that better welcomes the stranger and the refugee. I pray that you see a state of Indiana that better cares for the citizen, especially those who are economically and physically vulnerable. I pray that you see a city of Indianapolis that better cares for its children, especially children in poverty. I also pray that you see a neighborhood of Butler, Tarkington, and Mapleton Fall Creek that better cares for its neighbors, especially those who are homeless or mentally ill. But in addition to praying for your world, I pray for you as an individual as well. Ronnie, I pray for your mom and your sisters, and I pray for a new family that you and Betty may start. I pray that you both continue to grow in love as a couple. And with both of you being ministers, I pray that you both grow in faith and ministry, and that you continue to fall in love with this vocation to which God has called both of you. I fervently pray that even when change seems slow or at a standstill, that you always see the holiness of God at work. And while this calling to a life of ministry is important, I pray that you take care of yourself as well. It's easy to forget while you're caring for people. I hope that you're still waking up early in the morning to get to the gym, even if it means getting up early and getting dressed in the dark in order to not wake your wife up. I hope she appreciates it. And if she doesn't, I hope you find comfort in sleeping on the couch. I remind you in Christian love and honesty that in the busyness of to-do lists and meetings, that you also take care of your spiritual life as well. You'll notice the difference. You cannot claim to be a religious or spiritual leader without tending to your own life of prayer and meditation, silence and solitude. And while it may seem strange and obvious to mention, I pray that you may receive the same grace of Christ that you try to offer to others. Know that in ministry you will continue to make mistakes, but it is not through your own merit, education, personality, or even experience, but rather through the grace of Christ that anything is accomplished. Remember that and you'll do well. And in all things, remember that the Christ who formed you is the Christ who loves you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. With love, Ronnie, December 16, 2018. And so, I invite you to do the same. I hope that in the reading of this letter that you found parallels in your own life. And so I invite you to continue in that practice. And obviously you'll need to make it your own. And so at this time, I invite us to stand and invite us to sing our closing song.